McShane Bible Study, Day 301, and this is the story of Jehu being introduced. So Elisha calls to a young prophet, or a son of a prophet, as they're called, and says to go anoint Jehu, who's a commander of the armies, as the new king. So he walks in, he does this, then Jehu's, you know, his guys around him, his fellow generals, lieutenants, whatever they are. So what did he say? He said, yeah, you know, how those guys talk. No, really, what did he say? Oh, he said, I'm a king of Israel. And they said, okay. And they blow their trumpets. They declare him king. He said, well, okay, if we're going to do that, we got to go take care of the old king. And the prophet had said, look, the word of the Lord is the house of Ahab will come to an end. And it's time. Because this is what Elijah had said, right? And Jezebel must die as well. And so most prophecies in the Bible, they come true not because someone's trying to make the prophecy come true, but because it's just the will of the Lord. It ends up happening, right? This one very specifically says, you're going to bring about this prophecy to conclusion. Although he tries to give Jezebel a proper burial, but the word of the Lord comes true before that, right? So he goes, I don't think we need to, it's, you know, I don't need to rehash all the details, but he goes and takes care of this all, and in the meanwhile kills, because the king of Israel's hanging out with Joram, so he kills Ahaziah too, although he is wounded, so he stumbles back a ways, back towards Judah before dying and then being brought back and killed in Jerusalem, and we'll see more of that story when we get to Chronicles. And so that's basically it. Like Jehu's probably, in my mind, maybe I'm forgetting one, but Jehu seems like the best king that Israel ever had. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's, you know, I'm not to say it's great, okay. But he's like, hey, this is the will of the Lord. And he even says to his, to one of the guys at one point, he says, don't you remember when Elijah prophesied this against this family? We're taking care of the will of the Lord, right? Moving on to 1 Timothy 6, he's continuing on in relationships in the first couple of verses and saying, you know, if you're a servant, which today we would equate to an employee, mm-hmm. right? Or in your case, you know, you're not of an age where you have an employer, mm-hmm. You have coach mm-hmm. for soccer, you have teachers. Like your mommy every day in Awanas when you go there, right? There might be other situations where you find yourself under. He says, you know, regard them as worthy of all honor, these people with authority in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Regard them as worthy of all honor, right? Mm-hmm. He then does go on to say, especially if they're believers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first part is regard them as worthy of all honor. So regardless of whether or not they're a believer, because he said God, the name of God and his teaching will be reviled if you do not have that respect in your heart. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're there representing Christ. Mm-hmm. If the person does not know the Lord and he sees you as one not respecting his position, then why would he ever respect God? Because you're supposed to represent God. Mm-hmm. You see that? You see how you represent God wherever you go? Mm-hmm. He says, but then also, you know, if they are a Christian, some of those people, mommy obviously, and others that I mentioned are, mm-hmm. then you know that by being respectful and giving your all, mm-hmm. you're doing so for the benefit of the house of God, right? Mm-hmm. So all the more you should work, right? Mm-hmm. And then he spends quite a few verses warning him about false teachers and say if they teach another gospel other than what he's sharing here, then they're doing it for their own benefit, to puff themselves up. And there is all kinds of depravity in their ways and do not follow them, do not have anything to do with them, right? They, and you know, they're teaching their ways in order to be enriched themselves. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're seeking after worldly things. So we're going to talk about this a lot tonight in the group if you want to join us. But what are some ways in which we pull away from the world so that we're not hung up in it? He said, these people are hung up in the world. They're just using talk of God, of spiritual things, of Christ, uh-huh. using his name for their earthly benefits. Mm-hmm. He says, this is evil, right? He says, instead, pull away. And this is a famous verse, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So he says, what, money is just like the tangible way that interactions of the world are exchanged. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Money itself is completely inert. But if everyone decides it's a way that we can exchange value, which is why we call it money, mm-hmm. then it's a way to exchange value in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a way to exchange worldliness. Mm-hmm. Now, we live in the world, so we have to use it, right? Mm-hmm. But when we're too focused on money or the things that money can get us in the world, mm-hmm. we're not focusing on the Lord, we're focusing on the world. Mm-hmm. You see that? So he says, when your love is for these things, mm-hmm. then your love is not for the Lord, right? So yes, we use these things, but our love needs to be focused on the Lord. And he goes on to say, you know, some there are rich that you're teaching. And so teach them up, not to be arrogant or prideful that they have money, mm-hmm. but to use what they have to be a blessing to the body of Christ, mm-hmm. to build others up. Thus, it's funny because I'm going to quote Jesus saying this tonight, and here Paul's quoting him. Thus, there to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. He said, these things in the world that you can buy with money, they are not true life. They have some sort of little glory in the world, but it's a minor glory. The glory of God is far surpassing anything you can buy with money. So use our money, use our life to seek treasure in heaven, right? By building up the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that we come closer to the Lord and receive true treasure. Mm-hmm. You see that? All right. And now we are starting the book of Hosea. And what was your question?
Why do you marry a prostitute?
Okay, well, that's the point of this whole book. God uses the prophets' lives quite often to... Because you saw Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but it seems like especially Ezekiel, but Jeremiah too. He kind of tells them to go do something. Like Ezekiel had to do some really hard things. And he said, this is all, Ezekiel had to like lay on his side for a couple years, mm-hmm. something like that, eat off dung or something. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how difficult that would be? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really difficult, just so that everyone can see him doing this, and then he can explain either during or after, I don't know, why he's doing this. What's the Lord's message in this? Well, in this case, God's basically telling Hosea, your entire life is going to be a picture of me and the people of God, which are supposed to be my bride. Mm-hmm. Right? Your life is going to be this picture for all to see. Mm-hmm. Callum, am I going to have to discipline you? Okay. No more squeaking. So, he says, marry a prostitute, because that's what you people are. You say that you're married to me, but you keep going the way of the world. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so he says, go do it. So he does it. And, well, let's read it. Verse 2, that part says, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Right? So he explains.
Whoredom?
Prostitution. So he, you know, explains it right there. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said, so he's named the first son Jezreel, because Jehu, I said Jehu wasn't a great king, and we're going to see that when we see the, like many kings, he starts out with a fervor to do the will of the Lord, and then he turns away. So here, God is punishing the people for the sins of Jehu, basically. And then he has the daughter, Callum, has the daughter called No Mercy, because I said, I won't give you any mercy for the way you've gone away from me. And then another son, call his name Not My People. This is verse 9. For you are not my people, and I am not your God. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is... And this is also clearly an end times word. Okay, this was definitely a word for the people of those times. But he, by the way, he concludes with the next two verses. This is clearly like not just for those people in that time. But this is the way of God, right? He says, "You're not my people, not my God." Verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. In other words, I will not forget my promise, but I will also not condone your ways. And so I will bring out a remnant of people that will live according to my ways, and I will bless them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Right? 11, and the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And so, we see a fractured people. But he says, I will bring out remnants from all these and form one unified people, unified under the headship of Christ. Right? Okay. And we're finishing up in Psalm 58 and 59. And they both have, 58 and 59, both have elements of this, but 58 is particularly kind of a brutal, it's kind of like a Jehu kind of chapter. I mean, Jehu kind of psalm. It's just about, look, there's enemies out there. They're against your way, Lord. They're against me. Consume them in your judgment. And he kind of ends the last verse says, mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. And of course, this is true, right? Mm-hmm. We don't, if we're in Christ, we shouldn't have the kind of bloodlust that David had for, at least the way it reads like against the people that are against him. Our focus is on the spiritual realities that are against the Lord, right? And therefore against us. And we do very much want to see these things brought down. These philosophies of Satan brought down in the world. These ways that are against God brought down in the world. Absolutely, we want to see God bring vengeance upon these things. Mm-hmm. Right? And mankind will say, when it happens, surely there is a reward for the right. And God, because again, God promises, we just said this, God promises blessing for those who walk in his ways, right? Mm-hmm. Not just claim him, as Hosea just made clear, and the Bible makes clear over and over and over again, but those who truly walk in his ways and are quick to repent when he redirects us, right? Because we can step off track. But if our heart is like David's, a man after God's own heart, right? Then we're quick to repent and turn around and say, God, lead me in the right. I want to go your way, not my way. I want my ways that are not of you to all die. and I want my way to be your way. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. Psalm 59 is a lot more crying out to God to deliver me. But it does have a lot more, like 13 similar, consume them in wrath. Consume them till they are no more, that they may know that God rules over Jacob to the ends of the earth. So it's a very similar theme. 17, the last verse says, O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. So he brings this one around to a good place of, you are God.
Mm-hmm.
I am yours.
Mm-hmm.
I have all good things in you. You're my fortress. It means you're my protection. You show me your love. Thank you, Lord. My life is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's it for today. Do you have anything else?
No. God bless you.
Yeah, the Lord bless you.